Thank you, guys. And as they're making their way back to their seats, I do want to invite you that after service, you guys can make your way to our family center where we will have some a reception. We'll have some punch. We'll have some cupcakes for you guys to enjoy and be able to celebrate with them. If you brought gifts and cards, you can drop that off at their tables or their baskets. Hello. I'll be honest with you, I have a tough time prepping for days like today. I am not, as many might know, I'm not an emotional person. But this is one of the sad moments in student ministry because I look at some of these students that have been with us since the last 6 years and kind of seeing them grow, mature, grow in their faith. Now it's time to release. And that's just as a student pastor. I can't even imagine as a parent what is going through your mind. So as I prepare a message and get ready, like I want to honor and celebrate our graduates and their families, but I also know that many of us have graduated a long time ago, right? We're getting reunion invitations for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, right? Like, it's a balance of trying to honor them, but also bring something that we can all take home. And that's what I love about God's word is that it does that. But before we begin, I remember just recently I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and he was asking me a little bit about like what my job entails. Like he knew I was a student pastor, but he wanted to know like what does that look like, right? Like I know a lot of people were like, "What does that look like, Carlos? Like what are we paying you to do?" But he was honestly asking me, like, give me some of the joy, some of the things that you enjoy. And honestly, there's plenty, right? There's days like today when I see students graduating, when I see students grab a hold of their faith. Like, that's why I got into this. Like, this is why God called me, because I remember the work that God did in my life when I was in high school. And so, like, I'm a living testimony, and, like, that's what I love seeing, life transformation in the lives of middle school and high schoolers. But then he asked me, he's like, "So what are some of the difficulties, right? Like I know it's ministry, but it's still a job, and just like every other job, there's some difficulties. So could I just share my heart with you guys? One of the biggest difficulties in student ministry for me is keeping up with the lingo with these students. Like, I'm just gonna be honest, like when I was younger, like I could pick up on, like, I know what that means. But like nowadays, I'm at the point where like I'm Googling stuff. Like, what does this mean? Oh, okay, good. We're not using that in student ministry, all right? We're not doing that. Oh, that's what that means, okay? So we're gonna play a quick game, all right? So again, I don't know how familiar you are with Gen Z lingo, but we're gonna talk a little Gen Z trivia, all right? So if you're a parent here and you've heard some of these words like, oh, I know what this means, all right? Maybe some of you guys are a little bit older. You're like, taking notes, okay? So here's the first one, okay? The first one is drip, okay? Drip, okay? Does anyone, people know what that is, yeah? Swag, okay, so that's possibly more millennial, the swag. But yeah, drip just means nice outfit, okay? Like, if someone mentions your drip, it means that they like your wardrobe. Sometimes it's specifically about your shoes, right? Like that boy is dripping or that girl is dripping, okay? Okay? So mom or dad, if your kid tells you, like, hey, nice drip, that's a good thing, okay? You don't have to grab the chancla or grab the belt or anything. Like, what'd you call me? Like, no, just... You get to like, oh, thanks, okay. All right. Next one, no cap. Okay. All right. Now, again, all my Gen Zers are like, this is easy, right? Like, some of the ones that work with, like, in the student ministry, like, we've heard this. Like, all right, no cap. It means you're telling the truth. Like, no lie. okay? So like if you ask your kid, hey, did you punch your brother? No, I didn't punch him, no cap, okay? Like I'm not lying, I'm telling you the truth. Which again, if you do not think that students use these words or lingo, I would love to personally invite you on Wednesday nights to our midweek from 6 to 8 o'clock. We get to hang out with students, middle school and high school, and you get to hear this lingo and this talk happen, okay? Next one. This one's a little bit older, but busing. Okay, busing. All right. This one is, it means that it's really, really good, okay? Usually it's used in terms of food, okay? So like this grub, this food, this is busing, all right? And if you get the double, like busing, like super good. Little promo for in 2 weeks, we're gonna have some busing hamburgers and french fries and some busing desserts. Okay, so if you would love to join us for some busing food, all right, you can go outside and purchase your tickets and help bring our students to camp, all right? All right, this one, 8, or perhaps in the full term, 8 and left no crumbs. Okay, all right, we're getting a little tougher on this one, okay. So this one just means it means that you're referring to something that is more cool or more glamorous. Kind of, it's an elevated version of something else, okay? So if you're saying that someone ate, it meant that they took it to the next level, right? Now again, the short term is ate, like they ate, or they ate and left no crumbs, okay? Again, I hope you guys are taking notes, okay? And then the last one, and I will tell you this last one, this legit was a reminder to me that I was getting old. Riz, okay? Yeah, whoever said it over here. Yeah, mom's like, yeah, I got that one, all right? Charisma. Riz is short for charisma, okay? So this is kind of when you're talking about someone that has charisma, usually when you're, you know, middle school, high school, when they're trying to talk to someone else, like a crush or a boyfriend, like that boy's got charisma. Joey's got charisma, right? Joey's got the riz. Usually I've noticed it's usually when they're talking about themselves, like I got the riz. Like if you have to tell us you have the riz, you don't have the riz, okay? Okay. Now, I ended with this one because I'm telling you, like I got to the point where like, it was actually our high schoolers. I just kept hearing like, yo, I got the riz. And I'm like, is that a good thing? like, do I want the riz? Is it contagious? Like, I don't know if I really want it. And so literally like the students are like, no, Carlos, riz is short for charisma. And I'm like, oh, is charisma too big of a word to say? Like what? So again, I just left it at is. But that was just kind of a reminder to me, like you're getting to that age, right? When I'm Googling stuff. And so I say this or started off the message by saying this is because I want you guys to get a glimpse of Gen Z lingo as we celebrated our seniors, but also so that you can sound hip, right? These are some great jewels, okay? I would encourage your Gen Z kids, teenagers, would love nothing more than for you to take this home and use it in your everyday language, okay? Like, yo, that drip, Jasmine, that's, all right, just whatever, drip, no cap, all of that. Like, you're grounded, no cap, okay? Like, just use it, they're gonna love it, okay? But again, just to show you perhaps my age as well, and so as we continue, I wanted you guys to hear as well from an old man, not this old man, but an older, wiser, godly man. And that's Moses. So if you have your Bibles, you guys can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And as you guys are turning to Deuteronomy chapter 30, let me kind of paint you a picture of what's going on. Moses is coming to the end of his life, the end of the season of him leading the Israelites as they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And he's realizing that, his life is coming to an end. So this is one of the last spoken words or messages that that Moses gives. And so I just wanted to highlight this because I think he gives us some good truths, some nuggets for us to not only be able to take as a teenager, as a student, but also apply if you're an adult. So if you would read with me Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. It says, "This command that I give you today is certainly not too difficult or beyond your reach. It is not in heaven so that you have to ask, 'Who will go to heaven and get it for us and proclaim it to us so that we may follow it?' And it is not across the sea so that you have to ask, 'Who will cross the sea, get it for us and proclaim it to us so that we may follow it?' But the message is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may follow it. See, today I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. For I am commanding you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, statutes, and ordinances so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God may bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not listen, and you are led astray to bow in worship to other gods and serve them, I tell you today that you will certainly perish and will not prolong your days in the land you're entering to possess across the Jordan. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, love the Lord your God, obey him, and remain faithful to him. For he is your life, and he will prolong your days as you live in the land the Lord swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." What I love about Moses is he doesn't beat around the bush. He does not kind of sugarcoat things. He just lays it. And honestly, when you think about someone coming to the knowing that the end is near, they make their words count. They make every single breath count. And so he knows, I have to make sure that this is clear, crystal clear for the people to hear. And he shares his desire for the Israelites. And the first thing you see is that you are able to keep the command. See, it says that this command is easy, that this command is near you. It is not too far away. It is not it's obtainable. It's able to be grasped by us. I love what Jesus says when he talks about how easy it is to follow him. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Because here's the truth. The hard work has already been done. Jesus did the hard work. Jesus did the hard part. Now he's calling us to come and to follow him, to take his yoke and to follow him. See, the law that Moses is telling them is the law of the land, right? The law of God. The over 600 commands here. But when you, as Jesus said, when he kind of took both of them, it said, love your God and love others. And so I want to encourage you that understanding that when you follow Jesus, that's what we're called to do. To love God and to love others, because that message is near us. That message is obtainable when you go and follow what God says. But it's when we depart from this, it's when we depart from this that we try to find satisfaction in relationships. We try to find purpose or satisfaction perhaps in addictions or financial relief or in that promotion. Like all the things that we try to find purpose or satisfaction apart from Jesus will lead us nowhere. The truth is satisfaction only comes through Jesus. And you don't have to search the whole world. You don't have to travel very far. You don't have to go looking because the truth is near you. The command of God is near you. Then Moses goes on to describe the choices that are available to us, right? He gives us the choice of life and blessings to come, and then there's death and curses to come. So those are the two options, the two choices that you are presented. The first option is to choose life, to follow the statutes of the Lord, to be obedient to what he's called you to do, to live out the purpose, the life, the will that God has set for you today. Because when we don't act in obedience, when we don't follow what God has for us, it doesn't lead where we want it to go. And I think a lot of times we have really good intentions, myself included. Students, as they prepare to take that next step, we all have really good intentions. But intentions don't get us anywhere. It's putting pen to paper. It's going out and doing what God has called us to do and choosing life on a daily basis. Because look at what it says when Jesus is speaking of the thief or the devil. A thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. See, this life that God has called us to, when we choose life, it's life and an abundance of it. Because the other option is death. The other option leads to destruction. The other option leads to pain and suffering. I had to Google this because I actually didn't believe it, but how many of we have 90s kids in here? You were born in the 80s, but grew up in the 90s. Okay. So I came to this country in 1994, so I missed this amazing fad, but these are moon shoes. How many of you guys remember moon shoes? Okay, cool. I did not believe this when I read this, so let me just kind of explain what moon shoes were. These were shoes in the mid-90s. Every kid wanted moon shoes. The idea of the moon shoe was a trampoline for your feet, all right? It was essentially a box with thick rubber bands that had this little shoe holder on it, and it was supposed to make you jump really high, all right? Kind of this new anti-gravity technology. And as soon as you put on these moon shoes, you were supposed to feel like Neil Armstrong, right? Like you're walking on the moon. However, what happened most of the time is kids wouldn't be able to land. Apparently there was many kids that would go to the hospital with plenty of broken bones, all right? So I tell you this is because sometimes what the world shows us or presents to us, we think, man, this is amazing. Like, I want some moon shoes, right? I want this in my life. And when you finally try it on, it leads to pain, destruction, not where you want to be. And I think when we choose death, and again, that's such an obvious choice, right? Like, we don't want death, but it's never presented that way. It's always presented in a nice temptation, in a nice, pretty sin. and you go and you visit it, and you partake in that sin, and you do it over and over and over again, and that path of sin, destruction, ultimately leads to death. So the two options, choose life or choose death. But what I love about Moses is at the end, he encourages them to make an option, to make a choice. Because the truth is, as parents, as much as we want our kids to make the right choice, we hope we can make that choice for them. But the truth is, we can't. Ultimately, they have to make that choice. In the same way, for us adults, we have to make that choice. And Moses realizes this because now he says, the choice is yours. You decide. Will you decide to choose life? Will you decide to choose to follow God in his ways? His ways of love, his ways of grace, his ways of mercy. Or will you choose death, destruction, pain, suffering that will maybe satisfy for a moment or a season of life, but ultimately will lead to death? The choice is yours. So I want to encourage our graduates, encourage those that still have years to go in school, and those that have graduated long ago. We have that choice, that we have to choose life or death. What I love about the option is that, as we started at the beginning, the choice was made easier for us when Jesus came to this earth. That when Jesus came to this earth and lived a perfect life, lived the life that we should have lived, but we can't. He died on the cross, a death that we should have died, to pay the ultimate price for sin. But the beauty is that three days later, he rose to life. Amen. And everything that he had spoken of came to pass. And because of that, we now have the opportunity to choose life. We now have the opportunity that we no longer have to chase after the riches of the world. We don't have to chase for the satisfaction that this world offers. We can chase after Jesus and Jesus alone. And that will give us life. I think sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, we struggle with this. It's hard for our minds, especially even the American culture, to wrap our minds that this is a free gift, that Jesus died on the cross for me and for you, and that we just have to receive this gift. As Romans 10 mentions, that if we confess our sins and confess him to be Lord, that we can have life, that we can be called his children, and our life looks different, completely different. I know that many of our students that we celebrated, they can articulate this life. They can speak about how Jesus changed their life and how their life will never be the same. I know many of these parents can say the exact same thing. Maybe if you're sitting here and someone invited you to church, I can guarantee you that they have professed this. And we would all hate for you to leave this room not knowing and having chosen life. But as you prepare graduates for that next step, whether it's a local college, a college across the country or across the state, as you enter perhaps the job force, the workforce, or maybe you're taking a gap year, I pray that you make a daily decision to choose life. That there's nothing more that we as a church would love for you to walk with Jesus on a daily basis and experience his redeeming power every single day. And as a church, that's my prayer for you. I know I'm not speaking out of turn, but I know that's Pastor John's prayer. That's our staff's and leadership and deacons and trustee. That's our prayer for you, that you would choose life every single day. Because when you do, it is so worth it. It is so worth it. Let me pray for you, for us. Father, I thank you for today and the opportunity we got to have celebrating our graduates and their families. I thank you for the opportunity to hear from your word and be challenged by it. And Lord, I pray that as we leave, and we start looking at our relationship with you, Father, that you would make it abundantly clear, Father, and show us the times that we have chosen death. Death constantly. Father, that you would show us that and would allow us to repent and seek you and seek life. I pray that if there's anyone in this room that wants to choose life, that wants to choose you, Father, that they would just confess, God, I am a sinner. God, I need you. I thank you for the gift of Jesus dying on the cross and coming back to life. Father, it's simple because you did all the hard work. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that has chosen life today, that before the day is out, before we leave this room or this church, Father, that we would be able to go and tell someone. Tell our family member, tell our friend who invited us. Come find me and rejoice and celebrate that you have given us life again. Father, I pray for the rest of us that have made that decision and have a personal relationship with you. Father, help us to choose life. To lean on you and your power and your wisdom, that we would not depart from your law, that we would not depart from your word, but that we would follow you wholeheartedly, and that you would bring life on a daily basis into our life. Father, we love you, and we pray this all in your name.